You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello. Hello. Anyone around here speak basketball?
Welcome to the Confederacy of Dunks
Basketball Podcast.
I am your host, Freddie Rivas, and no longer yelling the opening with me is my producer. What's your name, sir?
My name is Matt Duncan. Yeah, I've become more professional now, and you know, I'm going to have a more serious tone from here on out on this podcast.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I've got a lot of complaints over the years. You're too jovial, too light. Maddie, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, Fred. You know, how are you doing? You got your first week back at the feud?
First week back at Family Feud. Shameless plug, I am the audience warm-up guy. If anyone wants to come see a live taping, we do Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So, you know, just Google Family Feud, CBC, live audience. Come on down. I'll try and give you some swag. No guarantees, okay?
Nice.
No guarantees.
It's downtown, right? It's not like in Burlington or...
No, yeah, it's in Arne Prior, Ottawa Valley.
No, you do something in Burlington, though, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Roast battles.
That's roast battles. Okay. But this is right at the CBC building.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, right near the old Rogers Center Sky Dome.
The man with that statue sitting on a bench.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bench
boys. Oh, yeah.
Bench guy. if it's your first time coming into the podcast, we're Raptors hardcores. We're NBA hardcores. We have analysts, writers, comedians, actors. Basically, if you're a basketball nut, you're welcome, and you've made it to the right place. If you do want to help us out and, you know, let us become the next Dax Shepard or large podcaster, how can they do that, Maddie?
RaptorsRepublic.com. Make sure you go over there. That's where our podcasts are. That's where all the great articles are. You can read, have a good time. You can even comment there. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe, please rate, and then just click all our Instagram and our Twitter links to get you where you need to go. Follow the Rapcast on the podcatcher, and yeah, that's about it.
I love it. Maddie is all business, okay, guys? He didn't talk about the skateboard decal thing that he does sometimes. We're done.
We don't have that site anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We're pros. Shout out Taylor McClain. I'll say before we get going here, free Brittany Griner. She has been sentenced to 9.5 years. We'll see where we go from here. It's obviously a tragedy. If there's any way you can get involved, make some noise. It's a horrible situation. So I'll say that. Free Brittany Griner. And yeah, I think without further ado, let's bring on our guests. We have incredible guests today. Maybe the strongest like writer podcast we've ever had. So I'm excited for that. First, let's bring on, she's been doing this podcast for years. An amazing person, an incredible writer. You know, you've probably read her work in a lot of different places. Basketball Feelings, Basketball with Sean Woodley is a pod she does. Dishes and Dimes, Dime Up Rocks, Rolling Stone, Toronto Star, she's all over the place. Raptors.com. Give it up as loud as you can, even if you're at home alone, for Katie Hindle.
Hey,
song's going strong.
Hi, buddy.
How you doing?
I'm good. Did I ever tell you that yours was the first podcast, first like basketball podcast I ever did?
No. Oh, my God.
Isn't that wild?
Honored.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I was like so nervous because it was like, I don't know if these guys are serious, like analytics bros, like what they're going to.
That's back when we had like five people on a mic.
Yeah, that's true. We did. And we were recording in person sometimes. So that was fun. I do miss that.
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy. And the answer to that question is we are full bros. Super tough. We do chin ups.
Yeah, you were just skateboarding around.
For sure.
Falling down.
I was going to say we'll yell like Tony Soprano. That's not what a bro does.
Kinds of bros. Some bros do that.
For the skateboarder fans, we'll push Mongo. Okay, you know what? This is a little bit sloppy. Too many inside jokes off the top. Let's bring on guest number two. An incredible writer, an amazing comedian. I think he's still with This Hour's 22 Minutes. Deepest apologies if he is not. Vice writer, just a hilarious dude, a good friend of mine. Really good at basketball, too. Sick shot. Give it up as loud as you can, even if you're at home alone, for Jordan Foisey.
Yo, hey everybody.
Hey.
I am so with This Hour is 22 Minutes. I'm the head writer, actually. So.
Whoa. Oh
my God. Huge.
I'm horrible.
I've been keeping it pretty. This might be the first time I've ever announced it. Breaking news.
Hey, breaking. Congratulations.
So this year, hopefully we can get the Raptors content up by about 400% on the show. Yeah. You know?
Yes, please. Can I tell a quick, Rico Hines sketch?
Can I tell a quick story about Raptors content from the show?
Sure.
Okay. So I think you've had Adam and Adam Christie and I would always try to write sketches that would never make the show. And I think I wrote one. I think it did end up making the show, but it bombed and no one got it. But the whole point was that it was like Mark Critch was playing Matt Devlin and he was it was like about how, like, you know, Matt Devlin shouts out like a random town when a three pointer's hit. Mm-hmm. And then they just had to get more and more obscure. That was like, but anyways, the whole point was, so I had Critch saying all the different Raptors names in the sketch. Mm-hmm. And he is not familiar with basketball, even the Raptors. And so at one point he was supposed to say OG Anunoby.
Uh-oh.
And in his defense, I didn't put the periods in OG. And so he had no idea what it was. So he dropped, and this is in the read, not on the show, he dropped Og Anunoby.
Og Anunoby.
But then it kind of became this like thing that we all, whenever we get too stressed out about the show, we have to realize like we actually have it pretty good and everything's fine. It's just kind of a silly thing that's not always for us. That's what we would say.
Og. Son of a Critch.
Anyways, that's one of my favorite tales. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, I'll see you later, man. Hey, listen, Og's not that bad. I just called you Jordan for.
I heard. I was going to let it.
The R was nowhere to be found.
Yeah, Jordan Foisey is what I just got.
Jordan. Okay, let's talk some Raptors ball. Let's talk some Og. Let's do it. Matty Good Sir.
Please don't trade Og.
Yeah, don't trade Og. Not today. Matty D, please give me your best, weirdest Raptors sting.
The Confederacy of Don't Say Talking Raptors.
Yep, that's a weird one. It's a good one. Quick audio comment. I love Matt. When Matt taps into these big celebs, that was Stephen A. Smith. For some reason, they refuse to breathe in the recordings. And it's just a lot of things, you know, packed together. So shout out Stephen A. Thanks for being a fan of the pod. Okay, let's go to you first, Jordan. I'll stop with that. Let's go to you first, because you actually gave me the idea for this first question. And it is exciting. We're getting a lot of, the Rico Hines runs content. A lot of the Raptors are there. I'm not even sure. I'm not sure who's not there, to be honest. I think
it's just Precious I haven't seen.
Yeah, I haven't seen Precious. Haven't seen Svi. But I mean,
what's that? I think Boucher was riding a bike around Ontario Place, so I don't know if he's there.
He's been there.
Oh, he is. Okay.
I love that.
Maybe he's
just riding it around. When's Dune 2? okay. Weird jokes aside, I think Rico's interesting because it's been a part of the Raptors summer, excitement machine for some time. I think during the Casey era, some people have been going there for a really long time. I haven't seen any clips of DeMar or Kyle there. I don't think past couple of years, but, Harden's been going there for a very long time. The Raptors actually hired Rico Hines for this year, which is cool. From a general point, Jordan, what have you seen? Maybe not just in the Rico Hines, it can be some of the pro-am stuff, but what have you seen this summer that's gotten you the most excited?
So just in terms of pure player stuff, I mean, Scotty's shot looks pretty nice. Mm-hmm. It looks like he has I guess they're like kind of step backs now that seem to take they take a really long time. Like they're very, I love that Scotty kind of moves at his own. It's in Scotty's pace too. And he'll still probably be able to get it off because he's so tall, but like the shot just kind of looks, he seems to be willing to take it. And it just looks a lot better. So that's very exciting. And then I would also say when these Hines runs go up, I watch like the whole thing on YouTube. Like when people are like, what are you watching this summer? Are you watching last season of Better Call Saul? I'm like, no, I'm watching the first couple episodes of Rico Hines runs. And I'm overthinking it and all this other stuff. But, and Freddie looked nice too in the clips that I saw. But the one thing that I'm going to say is that, I love that the Raptors hired him as an assistant coach. Mm-hmm. And especially because he gave this speech. I was kind of having like a hard day where I was trying to get something done. And he gave this speech about how like to be, it's all about stacking good days after good day instead of like getting not too low, not too high, kind of like boilerplate sports metaphors. And you know what? I really took it to heart. I was like, oh, Rico's, he's motivating me through YouTube. So I can only imagine what he's going to give to the guys on the team. Like I'm feeling jacked up just listening to this guy. So I think it might be a good addition to the coaching staff.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious to say sports are filled with a lot of like cliche and sort of like, basic speak at times. But, the next man up mentality or the like next play sort of thing, being in the moment, being zen, being kind of like present is something I've always really appreciated about basketball. And I think you do see it with the best players. People talk about it in different ways, like whether it's like irrational confidence or determination. I think people that really end up excelling in a lot of sports and in a lot of different fields have an ability to kind of endure and then also focus on the next moment and not let the negative moment be this super impactful thing. And, easier said than done, right? I think in comedy you hear a lot like, go have fun or have fun out there. And it almost seems like facetious, but it's truly a real thing, right?
And this is a little not basketball. It's the off season, so I feel like this kind of personal musing is okay. Like we're deep off, but it's like learning how to take pleasure and to feel good from the work and not the results in and of themselves. like doing the work and then feeling good about yourself because of the work that you do and not because it was noticed in a particular way or had the results that you wanted to. It's like putting in good work every day is learning how to make it its own reward. And so that's what I'm happy to see the Raptors are learning that philosophy. And I hope I one day can as well.
Yeah, no, seriously. And you know, just to your point, you know, Scotty's shot does look nice. And I wasn't trying to belittle your point. I really wasn't. But like, you know, and I think off-season confidence translating into the regular season, like, will his shot look as nice, you know, in the regular season or the playoffs? Maybe not. Does that invalidate the summer? No.
No. And you do see it happen. Like, Pascal's shot looked way better in the offseason, like 2-3 seasons ago. And it didn't look that good until like last season, basically. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of that mid-range you kind of developed, and that he was practicing that fadeaway for like years, and he'd hit it in the offseason, but not in the, you know.
Well, and it's interesting you bring up Pascal. You know, I'm sort of like, you know, pretty repetitive with my point about, I'm always saying that I feel like a huge part of last year was Pascal not starting the team or, you know, starting the season with the team and, you know, and affecting the pecking order and OG and Fred getting tired, et cetera, Precious being, you know, overtasked. But I think that, you know, in the Tampa season, if I'm not mistaken, Pascal wasn't able to go to Rico, which is a place that he's really, you know, like he develops quite a bit. Katie, what's, you know, yeah, what's your take on, you know, I guess he's the summer like vibes, highlights, sort of, you know, not necessarily just Rico, but, you know, if you want to go for Rico, that's cool.
My summer vibes are always NBA summer vacation watch.
Yes.
Just to plug myself.
You got to plug. It's amazing.
But if you guys are talking about like slogans that have come out of Rico Hines runs, I think the funniest to me was respect the gym. I think that's what they said the first day.
That's pretty great.
Respect the gym rocks.
Yeah, respect the gym. I really liked that. I felt like it was maybe more directed towards like, you know, your James Hardens, or maybe just James Harden in that case, than like you're very eager like Scotty Barnes's. But like, yeah, to like piggyback off what Jordan said, I think Scotty looks really good. I think his handle, though, it is still like, it's not 10 feet out from his body. It's maybe like 6 feet out from his body. Mm-hmm. So that's a good improvement to me because that always like he can do it, but I'm always like, maybe just dribble the ball a little bit closer to you. So I saw him working on that. I saw him like specifically in a couple of the clips going up against James Harden, and I thought he looked really good, like just very aggressive. Mm-hmm. And I think I liked, I think it was about a week ago. I think it was Rico Hines said something about Pascal to the extent of just like, he's the hardest worker, you know, he's ever seen and never worked with. So I think that looks good. I mean, both of your points, just in terms of like this work being applicable to me, it's always kind of like warmups before the game. Like if you watch those, everybody's shots are falling like 100% of the time.
Yeah.
But this is more of like, you're kind of like in the lab, as they say, and you're getting, you know, it is like a little bit more aggressive and like, you know, pointed, kind of targeted training. But I'm curious to kind of see what happens to it. But I thought OG looked really good. As always, like Freddie, you know, I'm hoping that OG has like his first, knock on wood, like uninterrupted season of his career. But I probably just jinxed it big time by saying that.
Yeah, he's gonna get the weirdest injury like day one. He's gonna like poke his eye with an umbrella.
And he already has eye injuries like all the time.
Yeah,
like it's
don't get Matt started on his contacts, okay?
Always getting knocked out.
That man some goggles.
Yeah,
I would love to do a sort of like a pool for OG injuries, but they're just like it's like. Like falls into the red panda cage at the Toronto Zoo or something. Like, it's not going to be regular.
Oh no. Yeah, it has like an allergic reaction to something at the botanical gardens. Something like that. No, I don't wish any of that on OG.
No, God, no.
I think it's good. I always get a real kick out of like, I don't think even for the fan bases who's like players on their teams are now taking part in these like Rico Hines runs, don't get as immersed and like obsessive about them and all the footage coming out of them as Raptors fans do. So I still get a big kick out of that.
Yeah, me too. And I'll jump on that point because I feel like what excites me the most is that all of the Raptors are, you know, kind of hanging together and playing in these like lineups that we're going to see in the season. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's good. It's good competition and like sort of being in the lab, trying new stuff. Is just, I think it's really integral to like the overall growth. And there was also a speech that Freddie made just about like, you know, not taking this for granted, whether you're an established player or someone who's just in the gym. And
respect the gym.
Honestly, respect the gym. And I feel like it's cool that we have these different iterations of Raptors. Like we have Pascal and Fred who are, you know, NBA champions and G League champions, and different people who have big contracts. Some are sort of just, you know, fighting to be on the team. DJ Wilson was there. So all the kind of like competitive juices, you know, taking a point from William Liu, I was listening to him earlier today and he was just sort of saying that, you know, it is hard to judge because the level of defense isn't quite, you know, as intense or as sophisticated. But to your point, Katie, and I feel like I haven't heard a lot of people say this, but you know, when we think about Scotty and his development, I kind of think it's going to be on the defensive end more than anything else. I think he's going to get lost a lot less and just sort of cut down on his mistakes. It seems to me like there's an assumption that he's going to make this jump from 15 points to like, I don't know, 25 points or whatever. And I don't know if I'm there. Like, I think he's just going to be a more well-rounded player. And also to your point about dribbling, you know, 10 feet out versus like now six, I think that's how we get to the people who want point Scotty, you know, Scotty running, you know, grabbing a rebound and running the floor and making a wild pass is amazing. And it's cool. But it's totally different than running a half court set. You know, you even see that with like Banton, right? And it's not to take away from that, but I just think, you know, not every pass leads to an assist when you're a really, really good point guard. And I think that's sort of those intricate like handoffs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I think like if he, you know, if they're looking to still develop him more at the point guard role, which I think the team definitely seems to be, then he's not going to be the primary scorer, right? And I would actually say that would stunt his development a little bit, right? Like you don't want him to be like, of course it would be wonderful if he just became like a lights out shooter, but I think the way that the team is structured and the way that it looks like from the guys they got this summer, who knows what's going to happen at training camp, but from the guys they went out and got this summer, the way they want to continue to structure it is, you know, yeah, they definitely want him doing more on the defensive end. Because last year, you know, with Pascal coming in late and just like the injuries and COVID, like the defense wasn't great, right? Like they were like, it was pretty spotty at times. So I think he didn't really get like the full runway of defensive development in that sense. So, and it's just going to make him a much smarter player, which will make him much better on the offensive end anyway. So I'm with you.
Yeah. Well said.
I mean, we are bearing the lead of when he defended Harden and like clapped in his face. Like,
yes.
I think we can all agree that was the juice for the next month. Like I think every Raptors fan like did an audible, like we were salivating audibly. Like when that happened, where it's like, and like, again, obviously it is like a sort of, I don't know how hard James Harden was trying in that point, but it was like, I mean, you just couldn't help but to be pumped to see that.
Mm-hmm. And didn't James Harden praise him for his ethic?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. He did.
I mean, this has been the summer where James Harden kind of is like turning around his reputation a little. Like, it's kind of like he took less money. He's in the gym all the time. He's like saying like, it's kind of interesting.
Just because he got out of the Nets at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. We'll get to that later. But he's like, I'm not having a meeting with Joe Tsai. So, I actually am just playing a ton of basketball and things are good here. Okay, Maddie, why don't you come in? I want to get a bit silly here. So, yeah, as I said, I'm back at Family Feud. You know, it doesn't really matter, you know, for anyone listening, it doesn't really matter, you know, if you know the game or not. But just from a very basic sense, I want to ask all you guys. I'll start with you, Katie. Who the five people you put as a family? So, like, you know, think about it like, yeah, you want them to be good on TV. They got a riff. They also have to answer questions like really quickly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they're too cool, maybe that's not going to work. And then from those five, who's your best two who you would sort of like put when it's the last clutch moment of the show called Fast Money?
Okay. I'm going to pick Freddie. Of course.
Nice leader.
I think he's like a good anchor. I'll pick Thad Young. Cause I think, you know, he's good at letting things come to him, the game, the answers, hopefully he'll answer quickly. I will pick OG because I think he'd actually do well in a competitive setting like this, because OG is very much like when you ask him questions, he always reiterates the question cause he wants to make sure he like specifically answers exactly what it is you're asking him.
Hilarious.
Yes. Yeah. So I think he'd be really good. I'm kind of on the fence about Pascal just because sometimes he gets like, I think he might get a little bit of stage fright, you know, like being on the spot, or he just like get the giggles a little bit, which also
I can see him getting the giggles for sure.
To him. Scotty.
Yep.
What do you want more?
Scotty, Fred, Thad, OG. Yeah.
I'll pick Delano.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
How come you pick Delano? Just curious.
He's a very I've chatted with him a bunch. I've had the luck to do that, but I feel like he's a very thoughtful guy when you kind of get him like on a certain topic, and he's very smart and he can answer. He's crafty, you know.
I like it. And also, I mean, you know, since it is a Canadian show. So
and he's from Toronto. Yeah.
You know, he'd know some Canadian stuff.
It would make Freddie's life easier. Maybe bring out some people, like some audience, you know, which would be good.
It would. Yeah.
There'd be some people in the stands watching. So that would make
you'd fill up the studio right away.
Yeah. We'd get some Rexdale folks in the building. It'd be good. Yeah. Out of those five, who are the top two you'd put in the crunch moment?
Probably Fred and Thad.
Fred and Thad. I like it. Mm-hmm. And there also is a part of the show where the leader sort of introduces everyone, and Fred would be great at that. He'd be like, this is Team Raptors, and he'd intro everyone, and it would be great. Okay, Jordan, what's up? Who's your five? And then after that, who's your two?
Okay, well, mine was pretty similar. Fred and Thad immediately came to mind, I think. I think they seem like, because Fred has
that. I wonder why that is. They just seem like good game show guys.
They seem
very good. What's that?
Wise.
They're very wise. They both seem like, they basically seem, and Thad has that calming sort of like dad energy that I think I've talked about on the show, actually Dad Young. And so I think those two are there. I'm going to say Pascal because he's got that hype factor that you always want on the feud. You know, like you need somebody who's always like cheering for everybody. Like he's going to be clapping. I can see him not getting some questions right. But I could also see him keeping the spirits up, and you want that big laugh. You want that energy. So I'm going to go yes on Pascal. I mean, Scotty's the star. So we also need him. We need him out there. You know, we need as much screen time for Barnes out there. And then I'm going to go Otto Porter because I think he's a sharpshooter, man. I think he's going to have, Otto seems like he's got, I bet you he would like, he'd be the sneaky like ringer. Like he'd have a lot of answers.
Yeah, he'd be number five.
What's that?
He'd be number five on the line. Like he'd have to do the sudden death.
Yes. Yeah. And I think you'd be able to do it. And then for my two, yeah, it's got to be. Oh, but I didn't say OG. Damn. Okay. Oh, shoot.
OG. OG can be the backup.
Okay, OG is the backup because, okay, so I'm going to just break the game anyways. I'm going to say for my two, there's Freddy because I think he'd be the best. But then OG is also up there because I think the chance for a viral moment are highest with OG. Like, I think we're going to have fun. Like, he's going to say something like so blunt. And then Jerry D's not going to know what to do with the answer. And it's, you know, it's going to be great TV, I think. Because this is, you know, it's about TV. It's about money, but also we need some good TV out of this.
We're trying to get some laughs here, too. Yeah. You know? Okay, Maddie, what's up? Who's your five? And then who's your two?
So when I read the question, I was like, there's no way he's just talking about the active roster, right? Probably not. So I'm kind of off the board here. It's a bit of a weird five, but I think
Herbie Coon.
I just thought, like, it's Family Feud. It's supposed to be a wholesome show. And I thought, okay, so let's get Kyle Lowry there. Let's get Kyle Lowry's mom.
Okay, sure.
I'd like to see Vince Carter and Vince Carter's mom, two famous moms of the Raptors stars.
Okay.
And the fifth one's weird. I don't know why. I just want him there.
My mom. I don't know why.
Yeah, and Kathy Rivas. No, the fifth one would be Uncle Dennis. Now, weird fit, I know, but I just feel like this myth.
All those moms to leave.
Yeah, I don't really know what the vibe is of this cast, but I feel like, you know, part of me wants to see the two moms doing the fast round. I think that would be fun. And, you know, but I don't know, Uncle Dennis, throwing him anywhere, you know, he's going to say something weird when they're like asking him questions. So, yeah, I tried to keep it in the family vein of uncles and moms and past players that were our stars. Yeah.
What would you have to give Uncle Dennis to get him to be on the show?
Right.
Like, you'd have to give him the whole CBC building, probably.
Yeah. No, he becomes the statue. There's a statue of him on the bench outside.
Yeah, he only does it if he gets to hang out with Eugene Levy for one day.
No, he now owns the Cactus Club.
You know who would be really good is Pascal's older brothers, because they're
The Siakam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think Siakam, does he have four brothers or three?
Yeah, he's three brothers and one sister, I believe.
Yeah, the Siakam family would be absolutely, I mean, like, I wouldn't even, if there was ever the Siakam family, I would not be able to do my job.
I feel like that could happen.
I know.
Yeah, you should make it happen.
I would have a meltdown. I would be losing my. I don't even. And it would be horrible for the other team.
Our warm up guy is fucked right now.
Our warm up guy is tripping out.
Yeah. You go out there. He's too nervous.
He won't stop spinning. He's chugging hot sauce. Okay. I feel like, you know, this is cheating a little bit just because, you know, I've seen the show so many times, but I'm bringing in as many Canadians as I possibly can. So I want Boucher there. I want Delano there. Last year, Kem Birch's mom did the show.
What?
So I'm bringing Kem in for
Wendy.
Sure.
She's great.
Yeah, she's amazing. Actually, she does her own podcast as well. Mm-hmm. So those three. For similar reasons that everyone else brought up, I want Scotty there because I think Scotty would just... I could see him doing something funny. I could see him like hugging Jerry or something or trying to pick me up. And then
you're like, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Fingers crossed, man. Let me ride your shoulders, dude. And OG. Yeah. I feel like you got to have OG there. He would be absolutely hilarious. He would do something insane. So those are my five. And of the quick answer part, I think I would go with OG and Kem. I just think it would be a fun dynamic there.
So but, the whole Birches on the show? Why was Ken Birch's mom on?
It was...
I don't think you said Kim, just Wendy.
What's that? Sorry. Oh no, sorry. Yeah, it was just Wendy because okay. It was a family from Montreal, and I freaked out because when they were being interviewed, they were like, you know, there's sort of like interesting facts about the family, and she said, yeah, well, I have one son in the NBA and one son that's hopefully going to make it to the NFL, and when they were like, well, you know, who's your son in the NBA? She was like, Kim Birch. And I lost it right there. Honestly, I was already freaking out. So if Pascal's family was there, I wouldn't. I don't know. It'd be a tough time.
I love that. That's so funny.
They were great too. Wow. Okay, let's talk some NBA. Matty, good sir. You already had such a good answer, you know. So I feel like you're ready with maybe it's an Uncle Dennis thing. I'm not sure. Hopefully, it's just the regular new Weird Al, which is my favorite weird sting. But without further ado, please give me your best NBA sting.
This is Adam Silver.
Yeah. I always feel like I got to explain it, but maybe I don't. That's Weird Al saying, this is Adam Silver, honk, honk. But he's losing his breath. So, you know, pretty straightforward sting. Let's go to you, Jordan. And I think it was maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, but a friend of the podcast posted, or Alan Shane Lewis was posting stuff about Andrew Wiggins bringing the Larry Obi, the NBA Champions Trophy to Vaughn, which was really cool. And, you know, seeing like all these kids were like following him around, and I was like, oh man, this is such a scene. And it's supposed to like hilarious and amazing. And like, I was feeling pride, but also feeling goofy. And it made me think like, okay, you know, what would I do? Like what, like if I got to bring the Larry Obi around, like where would I bring it? Like in my hometown. So I want to ask you guys, Jordan, tell everyone where you're from, and what you do with the Larry Obi, in your hometown.
Well, I'm from Sault Ste. Marie.
Beautiful.
She's Northern Ontario in between the Great Lakes. And so, I guess with the Larry Obi, I would spend most of my time explaining to people what basketball is. And then
set up a booth.
Yeah, I think I'd have to set up a booth, and it would just be part of the display that I had set up. I'd be like, oh, here's what the court looks like.
Sure.
Here's some famous players. Toronto actually has their own. They have the Raptors, who are the Maple Leafs of basketball, and but much more successful.
More valuable, and, too.
And much more valuable. Mm-hmm. And then I would show them the Larry Obi and be like, this is like what you win when you win it all. And then I assume 7 people would come to my little basketball workshop.
Be a packed Legion Hall.
It'd be a packed Legion. My hat would be off. And, you know, but I would go to bed feeling like I'd done something good in this world. So that's wow. I would do it right downtown, and I would do it during Rotary Fest. I would be set up. I'd be set up near where there was like a cover band playing Rumors in its entirety. And then like somebody trying to dunk a guy in a tank.
I mean, that's a pretty good setup.
It's not bad. And then, yeah, the Larry Obi right there.
Yeah, you can go your own way. You're just holding up the Larry Obi. Yeah. Cool cover band. I in my head, I was just like, wish I could go to the Rotary Fest. Katie, what's up? I guess, yeah, where's your hometown? And what, you know, what would you do with the Larry Obi in it?
I'm from Scarborough, so I'm, you know, the suburbs of Toronto. But I wanted to first say I went through Sault Ste. Marie for the first time in my life last summer because I made a pilgrimage to Lake Superior. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, I would add to yours, Jordan, respectfully, I would take the Larry Obi to that park that's downtown and like shake it at Michigan across the water. And
oh, then I would cool.
go
that's
to Lake
pretty good.
Superior Provincial Park, which is where I ended up, and just like chill on the beautiful beach with the Larry Obi.
Oh, that's much better.
In the twilight.
That's good. Scenic photos.
Yeah.
And then Scarbo just try not to fall off the bluffs, or?
Well, I would take it to the bluff. So probably first I would have to go to Scarborough Town. No, I'd have to ride the RT with it.
Yeah.
I love the RT. That was a big part of my life for a long time.
Yeah.
I would ride the RT. I would probably have to take it to my parents' house because my dad would be angry with me if I didn't. Mm-hmm. I would take it to the big three malls. I would take it to Agent Court Mall. I would take it, well, Pacific Mall's gone, maybe to like the ruins of Pacific Mall, then STC, Scarborough Town Center. I would probably go to the movie theater with Larry O'B, see a movie at Scarborough Town Center. Then I would take it to the Bluffs. Maybe I would take it to the Dad's Cookies Factory. Then I would take it to the Bluffs. Just chill.
I love it. Cool. Yeah, there's a lot of landmarks in Scarborough.
Yeah, there's a ton.
Maybe stop by TSN.
I'd probably have to like check out. This is a shout out to a great Instagram called Scarborough Spots. If you guys don't follow it, you should. I'd have to look at Scarborough Spots, get Scarborough Spots in on it, go to a couple really good restaurants. What else would I do? No, that's probably it. There used to be these hot air balloons at the mall, and they took those out, but it's too bad because it would have been sick to put one of them. And they just went up and down all day. But you could put the Larry O'B in the little basket.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, are they like Remax hot air balloons?
No, they were just like beautiful balloons that went like up and down on a string and were heated, like had flames shooting into them. Instead of like a fountain, you know, as like a feature on the mall. Yeah, man. Scarborough's got it all.
I love how lame and like branded I am that I can't think of a hot air balloon without thinking of Remax.
Oh, yeah. That's right in the brain.
I'm like, oh, would you also yell Ricola off of a
cliff?
You've been realty pilled, brother.
I hear that. I sort of had to choose between... You know, born in Toronto, spent a bunch of time in Scarborough. But then I feel like the majority of my childhood is Ajax, Ontario. I have to shout out River Breeze, community housing I grew up in. So I'd bring it to River Breeze, the basketball court there for sure. Also the ACC, Ajax Community Center. I would bring it there for sure. Maybe take it down the slide in the pool. I'd probably walk around the big creek in Ajax. So I'd walk around the creek for a little bit. For anyone that's from Ajax, like Roslyn and Wesney, I'd probably take it there. Hold it up at the corner. Maybe I'd bring it to like where Ajax sort of merges with Pickering, like Pickering Village. And I'd shake it at Pickering. You know what I mean? I'd be like, go to hell, Pickering. Like,
what about Whitby? Would they get any heat?
Yeah.
Whitby would get a bit of heat, but I went to high school there. And then also, like, I feel like Whitby is like, it's kind of far away from where I grew up. So it'd be like, it'd be quite the walk to go shake it at Whitby. Yeah. And then, you know, there's like, it's mostly farm territory. So I don't want to shake it at the farmers, you know? Okay. Yeah.
Take nothing from this podcast. Freddie respects farmers.
I respect farmers. Shout out O'Connor Farms.
Farmers feed cities.
Yeah, that's right, man. Give me eggs. Katie, last question. I feel like we've been talking about this Durant thing all summer, but. Mm-hmm. It kind of does just keep going on. It is big news. You know, I don't think you can just throw away this idea as being meaningless. Like, this is one of the best players in the world. It's a tumultuous situation. It sort of started with Kyrie. Then it turned into this, like, you know, from a Raptors perspective, what would you trade? You know, and then, you know, of the Jaylen Brown thing. And it kind of just keeps going. Now we're in this new iteration where, I guess, Durant and Kyrie sort of want Nash and Marks out. The owner of the Brooklyn Nets and Alibaba and the Liberty of the WNBA, Joe Tsai, has sort of spoken out on Twitter in favor of the coaches. I'm assuming at this point, like, he's a billionaire who doesn't like being told what to do. And is probably frustrated that the players are making so much noise. And who knows which way he goes. But, yeah, just I want you to imagine yourself, like, you know, you're thrown into this situation. You're kind of like a mediator. You know, like, what's your approach? Like, how do you, like what do you salvage? Like, you know, yeah, like, you're going in there at damage control. Like, what's your plan?
I mean, it's been a big couple of weeks for NBA owners on Twitter, unfortunately.
Yes.
Jeannie Buss scamming everybody for PS5s. Josiah, I feel like.
Wait, I didn't hear about that one.
You didn't? Yeah, oh, she like claimed that she was hacked. Like, her Twitter account was hacked. And people, like, she was giving out. Like, it was a scammer being like, reply to me right now, I'll give you a PS5 with all, like, your
but it was actually
financial
her.
Information. No, it wasn't her. Oh, I was like, whoa. I mean, I don't know. I assume it wasn't her.
Season 2 of Winning Time.
It's like a real mastermind situation.
I love it.
Yeah, and Josiah, I feel like, just realized he had a Twitter account. I don't think, you know, he's like spending too much time on there.
Yeah.
I would maybe take the exercise, like, if I was a mediator in that room, I would maybe take the exercise, like, even further. I would like try and deconstruct it even more. I would have them try and like get in other people's shoes. Maybe this is just riffing on a tweet I did, but I really think it would be funny if they like try to come at the situation as like a different team owner. So like, what would, on one end of the total psychotic spectrum, what would James Dolan do? Because then it would make the situation seem pretty measured, right?
Oh, that's really cool, actually. No, like, I mean,
in comparison, almost
like
Nathan
Fielder rehearsal style. Like, there's like a role play element to this answer.
Yeah, a little bit. And then I was trying to think of who the most, like, honestly, like Larry Tannenbaum, I think, just because he has the wherewithal to just like stand back and be like, please, you guys just run this team.
Yeah.
I'll give you my money. And like, I don't really, like, I trust you. You've obviously like the valuation of this team is through the roof. You know, and I also, a part of me loves Mickey Arison because he just looks like Bob Seger. So I would have like maybe like a songwriting exercise in the vein of Mickey Arison as Bob Seger. So they could like talk it through, like do a cover of like Running Against the Wind and like try and get a bunch of shit off your chest, Josiah and Kevin Durant. But in, if I was really in that room, I would just say, Josiah, you are a billionaire. Don't worry. Like, you're not, your team's still going to make money. This might be an investment, like, piece. And I don't mean that as Kevin Durant, because I hate when people talk about athletes like that, but I just mean like, this might be something you have to cut loose. Kevin Durant, this is literally the team that you wanted. You chose this coach. So you should maybe, like, you know, maybe I'd hold up a big mirror and be like, you got to look inward, brother.
Oh, I like
it. I'd be like a real mess of a mediator. This is more of a like a high school art teacher.
Yeah. Everyone just walks in. You have like a whole vision board. Yeah. Like, whoa, this is,
there's
a
like
lot.
Loose dry pasta and glue on the tables and like a Bristol board and stuff. But I mean, I don't know that we'd get through it, but like, we'd create some things on the way there.
I mean, you got some good ideas. So, you know, I think honestly, the what would other owners do is actually a really fascinating one, because I feel like it sort of like removes you from your perspective, and you know, who knows what kind of information you'd gain from that. But Jordan, you're thrown in, you're the mediator.
Okay, what am I doing? I mean, I don't know if I like, I think I'd have to say to KD, you gotta stop smoking pot and going on Twitter all day. Like, it's just, you know, I think as someone who has also had to do that, you know what I mean? And like, and it's like, I can, it's familiar to me. I can see it. I can see the pattern of behavior. You know what I mean? Where you're trying to get stuff done, but instead you're smoking pot all day. And then, and you know, you're on Twitter, you're spinning out in your head, you're getting all, you're not getting anything done. And then, you know, you become an alien to yourself. You become alienated from yourself. You don't know what your feelings are. So you're always sort of, you're always like, you get stuck in this rut, you know, a little too much pot. You get stuck in this rut. You're not, you don't know which way you're motivated to. Your motivations, your desires aren't entirely clear to you. And so I think that might be, I think that would be my pitch. Just say, I don't know what I could say to the guy. He's like a billionaire. I don't know. I'd just say, stay out of it. But I would say to KD, I'd be like, dude, I'm worried about your pot intake.
Amazing. Yeah. So you're coming in and you're like, Mr. Sai, I love what you've done with Alibaba.
No, I don't know what to say to this guy. I feel like I'm like, you just stay out of this. I mean, because ultimately I'd be like, I mean, the actual sports answer is like, isn't this going to be awesome for you? Like your teams, this team's going to be fucking wicked. Like if everyone stuck around, the team would be really good. So that would be, so I'd be like, what exactly do you want out of this? Mm-hmm. And that's why I'd be like, let's just make sure you're feeling in a good place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, cause listen, we've all seen what it's like when we tweet too much. We know what it does.
Oh yeah. It's a slippery slope.
It's a slippery slope. You're on, like, you can't be replying. Kevin Durant's replying to like everyone. It's crazy. He's like, it's like, if you get up and just like, we could get him to reply to this, he'd probably say my weed intake is healthy and fine. Don't worry about it.
You know what? Maybe he's right.
Yeah, I mean, no judgment on smoking weed. I love the stuff, but, I had to take a step back and it helped me with clarity, and maybe it would help him as well.
Okay. I love your guys' answers. I think before I heard you guys' answers, I was sort of thinking about coming in with being like, I'm just going to be like, guess what? We're going to trade, like, just sort of focus on like, we need to do something to like remedy part of this situation. So I would focus on quietly trading Kyrie and then seeing how that affected everything else. And, ooh. But now I'm thinking that would just make things way worse. So I'm kind of going in the realm. I'm going to sort of take, you know, I'm going to improv my answer a little bit. And I'm like, Cy, Marks, Nash, Irving, Simmons, yes, Simmons too, and Durant, and you know, Curry for good vibes. We are going to Colorado. We're going to go on the Colorado River, and we're doing a mushroom trip.
Like they're doing a whitewater raft on a mushroom trip.
We're whitewater rafting. It's, we're doing a mushroom.
Of Jordan's intervention.
Yeah, you're going into it. I like it. No, yours is better.
We're going full mushroom trip. You guys are going to see the stars. We're gonna have some nice conversations. We're gonna have some breakthroughs. We'll have a nice, you know, comfy Airbnb or whatever, so everyone can like get their own chill space. And
I picture Ben Simmons being bad on a mushroom trip.
Yeah, he might start thinking about like, I can't shoot or whatever. Yeah. You know, you know what? But like,
you can't leave the group chat of your life, Ben.
Yeah,
you know what? Maybe that's a bad idea. I think both of my ideas have the biggest blow up potential.
But it would give Kyrie a lot of fodder for his Instagram stories. So that would be good.
Yeah, Kyrie would be down. Actually, you know what? This is terrible because Kyrie would be like, okay, before we talk basketball, what do y'all think about the Earth? And it'd be like,
they haven't even taken the mushrooms yet.
Yeah, they're basically just like drinking water. Okay, that's it for the pod though. Let me just say thanks to everyone who's been listening and supporting. We've been having really good numbers recently, and we really, really appreciate you guys. So thank you so much. But let me go to you first, Katie. What's up? What do you want to let people know? You know, where can they find you?
I mentioned it already, but NBA Summer Vacation Watch, my column that comes back every summer, documenting and arbitrarily rating the summer vacations of NBA players, is back on Dime in its second week. I also wrote a big feature for Arizona State University's Global Sports Matters magazine on Caleb Canales. He was a coach with the Blazers, the Knicks, the Mavs, and most recently the Pacers under Nate Bjorkman. And he now is a coach on the Mexican national team. And the feature is awesome. About him, but also this kind of exodus of international coaches from the NBA and what the NBA can do about it. Because it's not a good problem to have when you're losing that many talented people.
Yeah.
What else? You said basketball feelings. That's at basketballfeelings.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at whatevs, WTEVS.
Sweet. Yeah, Katie, thank you so much. Jordan, what's up? Everyone watch this hour, of course. I'm being real. Where can people follow you?
On Twitter, I'm at Jordan Foisey, and tune in to the premiere of this hour. I have to learn how to sincerely promote it. Tune into the premiere of this hour on September 13th, I believe. Yeah,
you're gonna write in these skits that we just talked about, right?
Oh yeah, that's gonna be the first skit will be the Brooklyn Nets mushroom trip.
Honestly, please.
Casting is gonna be difficult.
Yeah, casting. We're looking for a bunch of people that are 6'7" plus.
There's Trent McClellan. Trent McClellan's tall guy. So, but that's about it.
Yeah. Again, thanks so much, everyone. Thank you, Maddie D, best producer going. And if you feel like we're done, we're good to go, please just give me those words I love so much. Okay.
Listen to full episodes of The Confederacy of Dunks only on the Rapcast.